Let's turn in our Bibles, and we're just going to jump right into the text this morning. Please join me and turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 16 through 31. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verses 16 through 31. So we've already shifted gears. Chapters 8 and 9 talked about a bunch of miracles that Jesus was doing. And then in chapter 10, he started out by saying that Jesus gathered his disciples and he was about to send them out. Verse 5 starts the instructions, and this is going to be right in the middle of where we are, starts the instructions that he gives to the disciples before they go out. So we're going to cover verses 16 through 31. Next week, I'm going to hone in actually on verses 16 through 20. Those are some of the most impactful verses in my life and in my ministry. So I want to take a whole week on that. And then the following week, Chris is going to preach on the rest of the chapter, verses 32 through 42, the last part of his instructions. Okay, so let's just dive in. Chapter 10, verses 16 through 31. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through with the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon their housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. Soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So here comes Jesus, and he comes full barrel coming at his disciples. I am sending you out among the wolves. You will be arrested. You will be scourged. But I will use this as a testimony. The betrayal is even going to come from members of your family. Brother will be betraying brother to death. So flee when you are persecuted, he says. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But although they can kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. So do not fear them. For your Father values you greatly. This was his message to the disciples. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this down. We're going to go deep into this and look at what he says. All right, so start out with what's going to happen. What does Jesus say is going to happen to the disciples? Seven things pop out as most prominent. Number one, they will be sent out by Jesus to the wolves. Number two, they're going to be arrested and scourged before governors and kings. Number three, brother will betray brother unto death, and even other family members as well. Number four, they will be hated, slandered. Number five, they will be persecuted and need to flee. Number six, I'm sorry, here's where slander comes in. They're going to be maligned and slandered. And number seven, they will be killed. All of those things are what will happen. Persecution will come to these disciples. They're going to be arrested. That's going to happen. We see this happen in Acts. They are treated as criminals for just proclaiming who Jesus is. They proclaim his name. The authorities come and they arrest them, throw them in jail. Tell them you can't talk about him anymore. You have to stop doing this. They will be arrested and thrown into prison. Family will betray them. Their own family members are going to hand them over. People that you should be able to trust, people that you should be able to know that they love you and they care for you, they're going to betray you and they're going to hand you over to the authorities so that they can round you up and throw you into prison. That's coming the disciples' way. They're going to be slandered. He says, look, Beelzebub, that's another name for the devil. He says, if they call me like the devil, what are they going to talk about with you? How are they going to treat you? They're going to slander you. They're going to talk horrible about you. They're going to say all sorts of horrible, nasty things about you. It's coming because you're connected to me. And he says, they can kill the body. And guess what? Jesus knows that. He's not saying that's just a possibility. He's saying that because it's coming. The disciples will be killed. He will be killed. This is how they're going to treat him. They will kill him, and they will kill the disciples. So, if you're a disciple, and this is your first time being sent out by Jesus, and this is his calling to you and saying, all right, now I'm giving you the authority. Here's where you go. By the way, I'm sending you out amongst the wolves, like sheep amongst a pack of wolves, and you're going to die. All right, that sounds great, doesn't it? Who wants to be a disciple? Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, awesome. Who's ready to be whipped and hated? Not so much, right? Who's ready to be called the offspring of the devil? A little less. Who's ready to die? Yeah, nothing, nobody, right? Who wants that? Nobody wants that. And yet this is what Jesus is telling them. This is what you can expect to be my disciple. If you want to be with me, if you want to be my disciple, this is what's going to happen. Being a disciple means sharing in him. So what comes his way is going to come your way. If he's hated, his disciples will be hated as well. So that brings this question. Why does the gospel bring us here? Why would the gospel lead us to this point where Jesus is talking about us dying? Why is he sending them to the wolves? Doesn't that sound unloving? Doesn't that sound uncaring? Doesn't that sound like the wrong way that you would want this to go? On first look, it looks that way. It seems that way. But if we look closer, there's a lot of good news that's in the middle of this situation that he says they're walking into. There's a lot of gospel, good news, that's here within this, in the midst of that persecution. So let's look at that. What are some things that are good news that are in here? Number one, God himself, Jesus, is the one who sent him. He's in charge. He's in control. He has a plan. He is sending them intentionally to do this. It's God doing that. Number two, they get to testify about Christ. Number three, even the Gentiles will hear the gospel. Number four, the Spirit is going to give them exactly the words to speak. Number five, those who endure the persecution will be saved at the end of it from hell. Number six, the Son of Man will come. He talks about that. When the Son of Man is going to come, and that presumably will be in glory as the King, returning to reign over everything. Number seven, the disciples will get to become like their master. Number eight, Jesus will reveal all secrets. He's going to reveal all truth. Nothing's going to be hidden. Number 9, the Father knows us intimately. He says, the hairs on our head are even numbered. He knows us. And man, we are tremendously valuable to the Father. These things are good news. So let's break that down a little bit more. Let's look at that good news that's here. So first off, there's several of those things that you could bundle together in this concept. That it is a privilege to follow Christ. It is a privilege to be identified with Him. It is a privilege to be His disciple. So number one, they get to testify about Him. Jesus has come and He says, I want you to testify of me. I want you to tell my story. I give you authority to tell people the accurate story about who I am. They get to be brought into that. They get to tell people about who He is. Secondly, the Spirit is going to fill them. So they don't even have to try to come up with, all right, how am I going to say this right? And I better not mess this up by saying this wrong. He's like, no, the Spirit is going to tell you exactly what you need to say. So the Spirit's going to fill them and put His words into their mouth. How amazing is that? And then they're going to become like Him. That's the promise, right? That a disciple will become like their master. And for all of us that have accepted the gospel, they accepted the graciousness and the goodness of who Jesus is. The promise to be like Him, to not be like our sinful fleshly selves, but to become like Christ. That's amazing. That's good news that's here. It is a privilege for these disciples to become like Christ. Second thing that we can kind of condense and bring several ideas together is this is all happening according to a plan. This isn't haphazard. It isn't like Jesus took a wrong turn. He's like, well, I guess I got to send you out to the wolves. Sorry, guys. Sorry I didn't plan that better. No, this is the plan right from the beginning. He is sending them out. This was the plan all along. I am sending you out in this way. And so if He has that plan, He's under control. And part of the plan is to have them testify to those that are His persecutors. He's actually giving opportunities for those that don't love Him to hear the gospel. Furthermore, it's not just going to be for those that are persecuting Him. It's also that message of Christ is going to get to governors and kings, and with all of their influence, that will spread the message. And in fact, He says the Gentiles, the lowly Gentiles that have been neglected since forever, are now going to receive the gospel. This is part of His plan. This is part of the idea. The Jews had, that was their responsibility. Go share with the Gentiles. They had not done that for thousands of years. And now it's going to be through the disciples going into this pack of ravaging wolves. So another thing then is that says, what else is part of the plan? And the part of the plan is Jesus is going to come back as the King. He's going to return. The Son of Man will return and He will reign. This is all a part of what He has control. And then when He comes back, He's going to reveal everything. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing's going to be a secret anymore. He's going to reveal all. And so then here's another thing, that in the midst of this persecution, even though we've got a great plan that Jesus has laid out that's glorious and wonderful, there's still the persecution and the pain and the suffering that the disciples will go through. And yet, here's the promise and the good news that's there. Even though they are persecuted and suffering, they are still seen and known in the middle of that persecution. They are seen and they are known. The Father, He says, knows the hairs on your head. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows even that. Do you not think He also knows your pain? If He's aware of just something as mundane as that, and He cares about that, if you ever looked at biology and how everything is designed by God, and and how he's designed everything so intricately, if he is that careful about your hair and how intricate he made your hair, don't you think that he would care about your suffering? Especially suffering that you're going through because you are obedient to him. He sees it. He knows it. He cares about it. And he says, you are greatly treasured. He talks about, look, not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Father knowing it. Without him being allowing that to happen. And so, if that's the case, and he said, we are far more valuable than many sparrows. So even though we go through this persecution, it's awful, it's terrible, we are seen and we are known in the midst of it. God cares for us in the midst of it. And folks, there's more than this life. He says, those that endure the persecution will be saved from hell. Glory, glory, hallelujah for that. Amen. That we will be saved from hell if we can endure this persecution. All right, so that's what's going to happen. That's the gospel, the good news that's built into that story that's there. So given that, they were going to be sent out amongst the wolves. But they had good things that were there with them, that God's presence would be with them. All of those things. How ought they respond? What should they do then? And how should they respond? Well, we've got 9 things that come out of this text. 9 things that they're supposed to do. Number 1. They are to be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Number 2, they are to beware of men. Number 3, they are to allow the Spirit to speak through them when the moment comes. When he comes to fill them, allow the Spirit to speak his words through them. Number 4, they are to endure the persecution. Number 5, they are to flee persecution when it comes their way. Number 6, they are to become like Christ. Number 7, they are not to fear them that can kill the body, but they cannot fear the soul. They are to not be afraid of those people. But instead, number 8, they are to fear God. And then number 9, it says once again, do not fear. And it's hard, it's an interpretation question whether they're, in that case, being told not to fear those that persecute, or not to fear the persecution itself. There's a question on that. But there's a lot that's there that they are supposed to do. So again, let's break that down. Let's make that a little bit more manageable. So number 1, Jesus commands them to beware of the persecution, to be alert, to be ready, to be looking for it. Right? So he says, you need to be as shrewd as serpents. Right? This concept that these serpents are wise and they don't make foolish mistakes. They're aware. They're watching constantly. That's the concept. He wants us to be aware and to be ready to see what's happening and not to just be foolish walking into traps. We want to be shrewd and aware. He even says, beware of men. He warns us to watch out for them. Be on guard, be on alert, beware of people, because they're going to hand you over. So be ready to watch out for that. And then he says, flee persecution. He says, when they persecute you in one city, go to the next. He doesn't say, just stay there if they're not forcing you to. If you can get out, go, flee, run away from them. So, he says, be watchful, be aware, be ready to flee when it comes. Now, while they're keeping an eye open, what else are they supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be like Christ. They're supposed to be good disciples that follow after him. Christ is innocent. So he says, be as innocent as doves. Be right in the middle of this. Don't be wicked. Act righteously. Then they're also supposed to allow the Spirit to speak the same way that Jesus allows the Spirit to speak through him. That's what they are called to do, is to allow the Spirit to speak through them. They don't need to take control. They don't need to take charge. They need to get out of the way and let the Spirit come. Next, they're supposed to become like the Master. They're supposed to become like Him. He wants them to take on His character, His humility, His love, His forgiveness, all the things that He is, His relationship with the Father. He wants the disciples to take that on. And in the middle of that, He wants them also to endure persecution. If you're a disciple of the rabbi, and the rabbi faces persecution, and he endures it, guess what? You as a disciple endure as well. You become like Him. And so, they're to beware of the persecution. They're also to become like Christ and act like Him. And even though then they are in the middle of this persecution and they know it's coming, they're told it's coming, He says, they're not to be afraid. It comes up three times. They're not to fear men. They're not to fear those people. They're not to fear the persecution. But in fact, they're supposed to fear the Lord. That's who we fear. We don't have to fear those that can just kill the body. That's the worst they can do to us. As far as it goes. Don't get me wrong. That is wicked. It's an abomination. It would be awful. It has been awful for those that have been killed for the name of Christ. But that's it. It stops there. They can't touch the soul, but God can. Those that end up in hell, it is because they rejected the Lord. They did not fear the one who has control. And so we need to have a proper reverence of the Lord and not worry, not be afraid of what people can do to us. Yeah, they can do a lot relative to this life. They can take this life. But relative to eternity, they can't do anything to you. That's nothing compared to what God has for us. So let's bring all this together. Let's bring what all of this text is saying to us. Persecution will come. The disciples, they're going to be arrested. They're going to be scourged. They're going to be betrayed and slandered and killed. But the good news that's right there in the middle of that is that they can be identified with Christ in the middle of them. And all of this is according to His plan that He is sovereign over. He is in full control of. Plus, they're going to be seen and known and cared for during the persecution. And after enduring this, they will be saved from hell. So they are to beware of the persecution, be eyes open and watching for it and being ready for it. They should be becoming like Christ, and they should be fearing God but nothing else. That is what this text tells us. And so now, if that's what the text says and that's what the text is about, how does this apply to us? How do we take this, and does this apply to us? This was a very specific event. This was the first time where Jesus sends out His inner circle, 12 disciples, to go out. And so this was the one-time thing that happened. And yet, there are lots of things that carry over that don't just apply in this one situation. So we need to be careful. Anytime you go to the Bible, is this something that applies across the board? You want to be careful with that. In this case, there are several things that we find that do work out, that do apply across the board. So here are some of them. Number one, we ought to be like Jesus, right? If you're a disciple, you ought to be like Him. That's true for them, that's true for us. That doesn't change. And so that carries over. It also carries over that the people that hate Jesus are going to hate His disciples. We're also His disciples. If they hate Him, they're going to hate us as well. That carries over as well. So we can assume persecution is coming for us. We can assume that. And because of that, we should flee, but not fear the persecution. Let me repeat that one, all right? Because that one's important. We're called to flee the persecution when it comes, but we're not to fear it. Those are two different things. We're not getting credit if we're afraid of the persecution. Christ isn't calling us to be afraid of the persecution. He's calling us to flee it when it comes. So let's dive into that a little bit. Our purpose, like the disciples before us, is to become like Christ. That's the whole game. That's why we're coming here. Folks, if you're coming here for any other reason but to become like Jesus, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, there's probably some good things to come, but you're missing the most important piece of the whole thing. You get to become like Jesus, like God himself. He called you to that. And so, here at CBC, that's what we care about. We care about, first and foremost, us being disciples that look like Jesus, that are becoming more and more, progressively more and more like him. And so that's what our discipleship pathway is about. It's about us growing and becoming more and more like him. And so all of our ministries are intended to do that. Our Sunday service is intended to help you become more like him. And so if something's not working and you're coming and you're participating, but you're not becoming more like Jesus and you're intending to, so there's a wire across and we got to figure out what that is. So let's figure out what that is and we can work on that. But everything we're doing is trying to become like him. Now, one of the side effects of that, if we're going to become like Christ, one of the side effects is we're going to be identified with him. And if we're identified with him, we're going to be opposed the way he is opposed. He has people that persecute him, that oppose him, they're going to oppose us. So, it should not come as a surprise when persecution hits believers. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We should be like, yeah, I was ready for that. I was expecting that. This says this in 1 Peter 4:12. Peter makes this exact point. He says this through verse 14. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. We should be glorifying in that. We should be exulting and praising and being excited and be joyful when this persecution comes. We shouldn't be going like, what is happening? What? Where did this come from? I can't imagine why I'm being persecuted like this. Why would this happen to me? Well, you're a follower of Jesus. People hate Jesus. It's not hard, right? This is what the story is. So if you feel like that, if you feel fearful like that, and you're afraid of the persecution, I want you to go back to this passage. I want you to go back to God's in control. He sees it. He knows it. He has you walking through it for a purpose, to give a testimony to others. And he loves you in the middle of it. And if you endure, you're going to be saved. It's going to be fine. You don't need to be afraid. It goes even further than that about whether we will or will not experience persecution. Paul goes even further. Paul says it outright. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There it is. If you intend and you are trying to live a godly life, guess what? You're going to be persecuted. It's coming your way. You don't have to conjure it up. It's coming. Jesus has enemies and they're coming for you. So, yes, we are to beware of men because they're going to hand us over. We need to be shrewd as serpents. We need to be ready to flee. Like Paul fled when the Jewish folks, they wanted to get him. He was in Damascus. And so some of the believers, they got him through a window in the wall of the city, and he fled. He got out of there. We're allowed to do that. We need to get going if persecution's coming. Feel free to flee it. But that doesn't entail a few things. Number one, that doesn't mean We need to find persecution around every corner. And number two, it doesn't mean we need to fear persecution. Just because we know it's coming doesn't mean we need to be afraid. And we don't need to be looking, trying to find it around every corner. There is real persecution in the world. It exists, and it's coming. But I would say that too many American Christians, especially American Christians, we're doing both of these right now. We're looking around every corner for persecution. Where is it? I know it's here. I know it's waiting for us. Where is that? Right? They're just looking for it everywhere. And they're also afraid of it. They're terrified of it. Don't let this come. Don't let the persecution come. Keep it away from us. Keep the kids safe. Right? We're afraid. And so that fear that is leading to this, we got to find this everywhere, right? We got to find everywhere it is. I love Brian Regan. He's a comedian. He's got this skit that reminds me of something like this. He talks about he needed to go to the eye doctor, and they got this test where the two dots that cross. And he's like, I get the anxiety attack when I go to this thing because I don't want to get it wrong. And so he's like, I'm in the middle of the test, and I'm waiting for this to come, and I'm like, now, then. And the whole point there is he's like, he just panicked. Doesn't want to get this wrong, and so he's just anxious, trying to get it right. You know? I think some Christians are that way right now. Like, oh, here it comes. Persecution. Gotta be ready for it. They're just panicked, and so they're ready to jump on it whenever it's there, whenever it looks like it could be that. The problem is, you become like the boy who cried wolf. Crying persecution all the time. Persecution, persecution, persecution. But it's not there. And at a certain point, if you do that enough, it causes problems. Folks, I want you to hear this. Churches not being able to meet in person during COVID-19 is not persecution. It's not persecution. There may be some levels of discrimination because certain things are allowed to open that are equivalent to what the church could be doing and as far as risk for spreading the virus, and these are allowed open and these aren't. That's a little bit of discrimination, but that's not, overall, this whole thing is not persecution. Crying persecution, when there is no persecution, is harmful because, one, it paints us as foolish, fearful, and false. That's a problem, because that's not who Christ is. We're not representing him well if we're foolish, fearful, and false. Number two, it's a problem because it diminishes real persecution that's going on. There is real persecution in the world. Christians have been beheaded in the Middle East recently. Young girls, Christian girls, have been taken from their homes in Africa. Right? These things have happened. Historically, people have died for the faith. They've been drowned. They've been beheaded. They've been burned at the stake because of Christ. That has happened. And is, in fact, still happening to some degree. And in certain cases, people are dying around the world for the name of Christ. That's happening. And in fact, there's other persecution that exists as well. Not just of Christians, but we also are diminishing other people that are being persecuted in real ways by claiming it when it's not there. Now, I've got more to say on this. I wanted to say a lot, and I just got to the point where I realized I need to do a whole other thing. So I'm going to have a whole other teaching, and we're going to record that after this. I'm done with this, and we're going to post that some form or fashion. But I'm going to give a whole teaching on kind of COVID-19, what's going on, how we react to it, are we in the end times, are we being persecuted, when should we gather, things like that. I'm going to give you all my thoughts on that. So I got a lot more, so pay attention to that. Please check that out. But for now, I just want to say, we need to be careful crying persecution for those reasons. But here's another thing to consider. If you're crying persecution, is it because you're a Christian living in the name of Christ? Or is it because your comfortable American expectations aren't being met. That's an important distinction to be made. Are you really being persecuted? Is this difficulty coming because you're a Christian, because you identify with Christ, or is it just something that you're not comfortable with, that you think you should have? We don't need to be continually on the lookout. Where is that persecution? Where is it? We just need to be aware. We need to have our eyes open. Look, if your focus is on Christ, you don't have to go looking for persecution. It's coming your way. It's coming. The closer you are to Christ, the more of a target you are, the more persecution is going to come your way. You don't have to go look for it. You don't have to go try to find it. It will find you. It'll make itself known. It's going to come, and you don't have to wonder about it. Is that going to be it? Is that going to be it? It's going to hit you in the back of the head. If you're believing the gospel, fellowshipping with Christ, you need not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to worry about it. You just be aware. Be alert. When it comes, you flee if you can. And if you can't, you endure it, knowing that you have glory ahead of you. So, if God wants you to flee and get away from it, it's going to happen. And if He wants to use your life, even your death, for His glory, it's going to happen. You can't stop that. But if He does that, He does that lovingly. He does that caring about you. Jesus isn't looking at the disciples saying, "I hate you. I'm going to send you out amongst the wolves. I don't like you at all." No, he's loving them. It's coming from a place of love. And when the Father said, "No, son, you have to go to the cross," was He going, "I hate you, son, I hate you"? And He was saying, "I love you. And I love those you're going to save. And this is temporary." So, we don't have to be afraid of this. We don't have to worry about it. Just be aware and ready to flee when it comes. Jesus' promise to us is not that we're going to avoid persecution. In fact, if anything, it's probably that we will have persecution. Again, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But that's no reason for us to conjure persecution where it doesn't exist. We aren't promised escape. Death could happen. But our faith is set on Christ, who rescues us from hell. That is His promise to us. And I'm going to leave you with this. You will be hated by all because of My name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. That's what Jesus says in verse 22. You will be hated by all because of My name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Praise God for the gospel. Is that good news for you? Do you view that as good news, that you get away from hell? Or are you so consumed with this life that just doesn't register for you? Let's have our priorities set. Is it enough for you that He saves you from hell, or do you want something more in this life? It should be enough for us to say, "God, thank you that you're going to give me eternal life away from hell." So folks, don't fear this world. Fear the Lord instead. He knows every hair on the top of your head. And you're worth very much more than many sparrows. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You love us and You care for us. And that even though You call us to be like You and to go through persecution, God, You see all of it. And You care about it. And You love us in the middle of it. We thank You, Lord, that You went before us and You went through and You had to suffer Yourself, Lord. You did that Yourself first. God, we thank You for the cross and You bearing Your life before us so that we could be saved, Lord. God, sustain us in the midst of our struggles right now. We have real, legitimate struggles, Lord. But help us to be able to discern between persecution because of you and just difficult times and difficult things that are frustrating. Help us to be focused on you and not the things of this world. Help us to care more about you and escaping hell that you gave to us. More about that and less about this life and the things that we care about in this life. God, strengthen us so that we can be a testimony to share about you to the lost around us. And may we do this in your name through your Spirit and the words that come from you. In your name.